Hey, hello.
Hello, Julia. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. I think it is not completely...
Your name is Iris G.
Yes.
You also have your given name.
Yeah.
I don't know how to pronounce that, but I don't know whether it's relevant for the listeners. Anyway, can I call you Julia, or do you want me to call you Iris G?
Please call me Iris G.
All right, Iris G. Well, welcome to Shanghai Expat Podcast, and maybe you can introduce yourself to the listeners.
Okay. Well, what would be interesting to know, I think, is that actually I'm a corporate woman. I'm professional in business analysis and passionate for fashion design. I was born in Russia, started traveling when I was 18, have obtained Master of Science degree in economics after a few years of studies in Germany and then in the Netherlands. In 2003, I have started my professional career at a large mail express and logistics company. I started as a business analyst, and 1.5 years later, I have been asked to go to China, to Shanghai, for an assignment. And so I can say that's how I've never stopped living my dream, because getting to China 1.5 years ago was just very exciting.
All right. China was on your list from what I understand.
Yeah.
Did you have a specific part of China in your head, or did you just want to go to China?
Well, I think I had Shanghai in my head because this was more or less my reference point. I visited Shanghai for 10 days once about, I think, now almost 3 years ago. And, I mean, if once you've been under the red sky at night, seeing all the lights and all people running back and forth, everybody enthusiastic about things they are doing, everybody full of aspirations for the future, you kind of become, how would you say, you just want to be part of it. And this is what I felt in those 10 days, and then I came back at the moment that in my company I've got the opportunity to go to China. I did not spend a lot of time thinking. Just went there.
All right, I understand. The name of the company that you work for, I missed that one.
TNT.
Oh, TNT Logistics, right?
Yeah.
Right, okay. You're, according to the email subscription that I get on a weekly basis, you're also a fashion designer.
True.
Can you tell me something more about that part of your life?
Sure. Well, I can say that through my whole life, my fashion design was something... was always somewhere around the corner. You know, like a part of your nature, something you have, but you don't use it because of other priorities in your life. And then it has changed when I came to Shanghai and have got this energy and inspiration from the city to start drawing forms, to start carrying them out and seeing my customers, my female customers, enthusiastic wearing my clothes. So that's why, well, my feeling tells me that Shanghai is the city which has changed the color of my eyes, kind of thing. So my fashion became big and wild here.
All right. I understand that you started to draw pictures and making designs here in Shanghai. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right. Now, of course, you were pretty new here in the city, from what I understand, so you don't have a lot of friends, I guess. How did you approach your clients? Did you use a kind of network, or how did you get your network, actually?
Well, first of all, when you are wearing something which is beautiful, everybody wants to have it. So I was designing in the first place for myself, wearing my own clothes, and getting very positive comments from colleagues and friends around. So I was meeting a lot of people in different locations, like how do you meet people in Shanghai, going to different mixers and going out with your colleagues, which become friends very easily. And by wearing my clothes myself, I was receiving a lot of good comments first. And then those people who have seen me, they started ordering, and then later their friends were, so I was recommended to their friends, so this is how it went. Later, actually not later, it's kind of a recent history, me and my friends decided to throw a fashion show, and we organized a fashion show on the 24th of May, which went just, it was splendid, really, so nice. And it was the first big exposure to 150 visitors, 150 women who not necessarily knew me before. Plus, I'm having a website, the House of Iris G, on www.irisgermanica.com, which again exposes all my work, so it kind of becomes more easy to find me.
Okay, that's a good thing. I haven't seen your website. I will definitely do that after the interview. You said you and your friend started here a fashion show here. When did you decide that you had the the market kind of to actually start a fashion show?
The market.
Yeah, I mean, the audience big enough to, you know, to start a thing like that.
Well, the thing is that probably I can just explain a little bit whom I'm dressing, and then it will be easy to understand why there is an audience in Shanghai. When a lot of my new customers, they're asking me why Iris Germanica? Why not some other brand? Why not your own name or something? And basically, Iris Germanica is a flower. This is not a well-known one flower, but it's a certainly a gorgeous one. So I'm always using this life story from the Netherlands. You know, Netherlands is a flower country, a lot of flowers every spring. Say,
yeah, my dad is from Amsterdam,
yeah?
So I know
great,
all about it.
Great. So you know, literally, you're coming out and you cannot find your way because all those flower handlers are standing on your way, in your way. And, well, I've done this market research. I went there in the season, peak season of Iris Germanica, and I was asking them to sell me one. And everybody knows the flower. They say, oh, the big iris? Well, I don't have it. Why don't you have it? Because this is an unconventional plant. It's very difficult to sell it because it's not a mass product. Mass is more attractive to a rose. That's why we are selling roses here, they say. And I am dressing a woman which is an iris. She is not a conventional one. She is, she knows what she wants. She's willful. She is very professional and passionate. And not everybody can handle her. So she needs to take care of herself. And I think Shanghai is full of those women.
All right. Maybe a little bit tough question to answer, but you say a woman is like an iris.
Yeah.
It's on one hand a difficult and not very popular flower. You say that you got a lot of attention wearing clothes that were special, but you know, special in a way that more people wanted to have that and to be dressed up like you were or like you are, right?
Yeah.
Do you also make clothes, design clothes that are not for like the big market? And if, are your designs actually for the big market? Because, you know, a big market is, of course, relative. I mean, what is a big market? So what do you consider to be a big market and what do you consider to be popular?
Well, if I see all professional women, women who who go to work and say are independent in their life, having a passion, then I think it is a very big market and a rapidly growing one. And clothes I'm making is for this type of women. I try to do wearable things. Actually, I'm not very much interested in not wearable things because apparently you cannot let anybody wear it. So to answer your questions about the size of the market, I believe that professional women market is big, and I consider it as big. So if I will produce for all professional women, say, in Shanghai, then I'm serving a very big market.
Okay, I'm asking you the question because I don't really have a good idea about your design, as I didn't check your website.
Uh-huh.
From what I understand, from what you say, is that you are basically designing attire.
Yes, I'm designing professional suits which have a twist, so they are not boring suits, but something you are wearing and like getting a lot of attention, so you have to have courage to wear it. But the thing is, you are getting attention not because you are having like a décolleté up to your knees, but because you are having something which really, really fits your character and figure. And that's why everybody starts noticing you.
All right. I understand that you have a twist. Where is your twist, and what is the twist about compared with all those others that are also designing in that same market or for that same market? Is that different? Is it difficult to tell me that? Do you say like, well, you just need to have a look at it and then you'll understand, or is maybe you can give me some details about your design that, you know, can make me and the listeners understand where your twist is?
I'll try. We'll see. The twists are mostly in details. This is a working of buttonholes, decorative elements on the clothes in unexpected places, playing games with the different fabrics, playing games with the elements on the jackets, for example, and skirts, something which is symmetrical versus asymmetrical to each other, and not noticeable in the first place, but kind of noticeable on the second, when you look at for the second time. I can, maybe if I can compare it with something, do you know when you like look at this at the sky in the night, not in Shanghai because it will not work, but somewhere where you really can see stars, and you look directly with your eye on the sky, and you don't see star, but then when you look with this corner of your eye, then you see one, and you look at it directly again, you don't see it. When I'm talking about this is this kind of thing. So, for example, when you're working with silk, you are doing a silk suit, you are working out several details in it, which are made out of silk as well. Those details cannot be seen in the first place because this is the same color and the same structure of material. But in the light, when woman turns around, those details start shining differently, and it grabs people's attention, and they want to look again.
All right, something like a blind spot, right?
Kind of.
Yeah, okay. Do you also get requests for specific designs from your customers now?
Yes, specific designs when we are talking about the evening gowns, something people are wearing on very special occasions, then they say, I need this something for a very special occasion. And what I used to do is to talk to the woman and see what is she, what kind of person is she, and then try to make something which fits her perfectly. Once and then, kind of put a story into her dress, put a metaphor into her dress or something. Again, working with a lot of detail applications and different handworks into the dress, which make it special.
All right. That's kind of customized, tailor-made suits or attire. Do you also want to start a new market, for example? Well, what you do now is a lot of formal style,
mm-hmm.
and a formal design. Are you thinking about developing casual wear in the future?
Well, I guess that in the future everything is possible, but you should do one thing right firstly. So I will focus on the professional wear first and get exposure with that, get brand, promote my brand and create brand awareness, and then based on how would you say the developments in the future, I will think about the other lines of clothes to do.
Okay, I understand that you well, I guess you like designing what you are designing now. It is a kind of restricted, though, from my point of view. Casual wear is probably not as restricted. How do you cope with those restrictions? I mean, the variety or your freedom is in very small details, as in where you have, on the other hand, where you can have a lot of more freedom in casual wear, not only in the details, but also in general. From my point of view, what's your take on that one?
This is a sharp observation. However, I believe that there are no restrictions in the professional wear. Certainly, you should not come to work in bikini because it probably will serve some different goal. But you can work with professional wear using completely different materials, different colors, different structures for it, completely different cuts. And this is kind of, untouched field, because what you see in the market is that the standard look is there, and everybody is wearing the same colors and the same standard look, because a lot of producers of the clothes just don't want to try something new. And I think that I have the luxury now to have the freedom to start these combinations, to start something new, to try to put new forms into professional wear. And it seems to work, because people are wearing it to work and are looking gorgeous. And normally you cannot find it in the classic professional wear for women, but it seems to work. So I don't believe I'm restricted by anything while doing professional wear.
All right. Well, you choose to design women's clothing. Why did you design or decide to start designing women's clothing? Why women's clothing? Why not men or children's clothing?
Let's start with the women. I think that this is something which I understand best as being a woman myself. And there is a huge, the opportunities for experimenting are huge with the female suit, the female clothes. So further, I kind of see, I don't know, maybe it comes again from me being a woman, but I see this need for a woman to be dressed in a certain way that she feels her very good. And there is a very huge correlation between what is a woman is wearing and how is she feeling. And the thing is that there is a very teeny tiny line between feeling bad and feeling good in the same clothes. And this tiny line is, for example, the height of your trousers. If you're putting them a little bit higher, you look fat and ugly. If you put them a little bit lower, you're gorgeous, kind of thing. And I like to work with that. I like to make women feel beautiful. So that's why I started with the women. I'm considering to start doing men's suit later as well.
That's okay, honey. You can make it.
But in the first place, I kind of like this variety with female clothes. And I'm not doing anything for children because, I don't know, I've never thought about it, I guess.
Yeah, right. As you said, first things first, right?
Yeah.
I want to go back to your fashion show that you mentioned earlier. You said me and my friends. I assume that you have friends that are also in the designing industry, and if so, Can you tell me something more about that? And do you also think about joining a team or maybe getting friends around you to start a team? Or do you have already a team of people around you that are also responsible for your designs?
Okay, let me think. I surely, you started with the friends, whether I have friends in design. Yes, I do. And the group is growing now. Say, I'm starting from the business. So I'm coming from the business side, so all my friends are mostly in the business. But now I'm getting more and more involved with fashion design, and I'm getting to know a lot of people from fashion design, fashion design, graphic design, shoe design. Very nice encounters, very, very creative people. Again, you can see that Shanghai works, is an artist city. Very nice. I work together now with a group of people who are working for me, but those people are not designers. They are most engaged in production, so they are supporting my production. And I am interested in getting to know more designers and gathering a group of designers later, yes.
Okay, when you say, like, I'm interested in getting more designers, getting to know more designers and maybe even work with them, are you looking for designers that are in that same market, meaning like the formal business type clothing kind of market? Or are you also looking for designers that are into, like, for example, casual wear, street wear?
Well, I guess I'm looking for somebody who is sharing my values, like who, again, who is inspired by dressing a woman to make her feel gorgeous, kind of thing. And it could be different kind of work, as I can imagine that ladies dressed by me now, they also would like to have something very casual, but in the same, not in the same, but in the similar feel style in a casual. And this is what I'm not doing now.
All right, that's something I understand. How did you mix? How did you start mixing with people that were or actually are still are in the design industry here in Shanghai? How did you get the information where those people gather?
Well, I mostly I get people. I get to know people till now because friends, which I already have, there are introducing their friends to me. And knowing that I'm designing clothes, then they say, okay, I'm having this friend. She is doing in clothes design as well, but she's serving a different market. So let's meet and have a chat. So this is how it happens.
All right, this kind of social networking.
Yeah, but so this is, again, in Shanghai, it is not very challenging to meet people because Shanghai offers a lot of platforms. So I plan to go in the same direction to get to know more and more people. And when you were talking about the fashion show, which I have done, I've done it together with a friend of mine. She is a designer. She's a graphic designer. And her specialty is graphic on canvas. She's making gorgeous pictures. So we have done together, she's done her exposition of her canvas, her work, and I've done the catwalk, so it was like a cooperation we've done together. And further, talking about the friends, I was supported by all my friends, female friends, for catwalking, and male friends for photography and those kind of things. So it was a huge effort of all my friends to put the show together.
All right. That fashion show was not too long ago. Are you planning a fashion show in the near future?
Sure, I'm planning to present my winter collection in early autumn. And so basically I would like to present my work frequently now to the public.
Okay. Can you give the listeners a bit of a can you reveal something about your collection that is coming up?
Yes, I probably can. I am going to work with the theme of polar nights for my winter collection. This is these are gorgeous winter jackets, winter coats. Very, yeah, how would you say, very cozy, soft and big, which can help a woman to survive a long polar night. And working with silks with interesting patterns under those big coats, because even in the polar night there is some light.
Okay, polar nights. When I think about polar nights, I think about a black sky and a lot of snow, so that's black and white. I think about those two colors. But you also said cozy and big coats. You're from Russia. I think in Russia, fur is still wanted as fur coats.
Yes.
How do you deal with that fur industry? I mean, a lot of models said no to fur, and they don't want to have anything to do with fur coats and other things made of fur. What's your take on that?
Well, I believe that people should follow their beliefs and not to wear work with what they don't like. And living in Russia, having minus 30 degrees, dry, cold, I can imagine that people need fur coats because it is very cold. And living in Shanghai, having minus one, it is not necessary. So for this reason, I'm not working with the fur because it is kind of a little bit not necessary luxury here.
Right.
And also, you see, a lot of people really, really appreciate not having fur in their clothes. So this is...
Yeah, I understand that. I went to... I actually work in the northern part, in Shanghai, in China.
Uh-huh.
I mean, up there, fur is a little bit more popular.
Yeah.
I think it has to do probably with the climate and the temperature up there, as well it has to do with the climate here. So how do you deal with those restricted climate, a type of climate that you have here? Does that actually restrict you in a certain way? And do you feel actually restricted by that? That is my question. Do you feel restricted by the temperature and the climate and the seasons that we have here? I mean, from my point of view, you don't have a real winter here, and you don't have a real spring or even fall.
True, it's a little bit kind of, I don't know, smoothed out everything. No, I'm not restricted, to answer your question, because I'm having a lot of customers from different parts of the world, so they find their cold spot anyway. So they need some warmer jacket. I have not done any jacket with this very thick lining which protects you against minus 20 yet. So I can go with just normal jackets of thick wool, thick cashmere, which protects people enough from the cold already. And actually, talking about the climate, I guess this is not like there is not. I don't perceive it as a challenge for that you are restricted, but it is more you are not restricted, but it gives you more opportunities, because you see, for example, in the summer when it is very hot, everybody has a problem with the running around, wearing their clothes and sweating. So you should work with some materials which can easy dry, which are cool when it's cold and warm when it's cold, kind of thing. And this is nice because there is a lot of materials in China which can satisfy this demand. So by producing clothes which is which helps people to go through this warm season. You can also achieve a lot.
All right. I have one more question for you. Although you're not into that industry from a business point of view or actually professional point of view, what's your take on or what's your view or opinion on casual wear here in Shanghai for this summer? For example, my opinion, I find it hard to find a nice summer pants and nice summer shoes here. It's very limited. The collection is limited. For example, summer pants, all the pants that I see are not very wide, and then the material is also not very comfortable. For example, when I think about summer pants, I think about 100% cotton or... What do you think?
Well, the first question is where does the challenge come from? Is it because you cannot find things in your size, or because you cannot find things you like?
Yeah, it's not my size. I got a regular size, but it's indeed probably my taste. Although I don't have, you know, I would say a freaky taste, I do look for something that is I would say maybe a little bit twisted, but not so twisted that I look like a clown, because I don't want to look like a clown. But I would say a little bit different, and I think that's pretty hard to find here in Shanghai.
Well, my observation about the casual wear in Shanghai, if we just skip the part with the sizes, is that we have now two different types which are predominant. The first one is a very, very, very simple something, which is so simple that you don't even want to wear it, because it does not matter whether it's a good brand or it's not a good brand. Nobody will notice because it's so simple. And the second one is something which is which has so many frills that Western people cannot wear it. However, Asian people like it very much, and they wear it. So if you are looking for something indeed with a twist, but then not too much frills, then there is kind of no supply.
Right, okay. With that, I have come to the end of my questions. Can you mention your website one more time so I can make a note of it and the listeners can maybe surf
sure.
to your website?
Well, the house of Iris Chi can be found on www.irisgermanica.com.
Okay. Is there anything that you want to add to my questions that the listeners should know about you or your work?
Thinking about it.
I mean, can I purchase online?
Sure.
Okay. So you got an online shop?
Yes,
right?
I'm having an online shop, and everybody who is visiting the house of IG, if you see something which is very interesting, which you think suits you, or you don't know whether it suits you but you like it very much, you can contact me and via email, via the contact on the website, and I can give you advice what kind of, whether this thing will suit you, and we can talk about the size you have, etc. There are a few things which can be custom made if a person is living far away, which is, say, the length of everything, so you don't need to wear too short, too long trousers kind of thing. And if people are in Shanghai, we can just make a custom made one so it will fit perfectly.
Yeah, that means face-to-face meeting.
Yep.
And then, tailor-made.
Yep.
Okay, thank you very much, Iris G, Russian fashion designer, for taking time to do this interview.
Thank you very much, Pan Pan, and everybody who was listening.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye,
Bye-bye.
IRG.
Bye-bye.